All right. I want to look at, I could also change the scripture to John 3:16. So let's begin at John 3:15. It's going to say the same thing I wanted to say. I've been reading both scriptures. And this scripture is talking about us confessing our sins as Christians. A lot of people think if you're free, if you've been born again and saved by faith, that's the end of the matter. But that's not really what scripture says. You don't keep the law before you're saved, but after the law, because you're free, you keep the law voluntarily. So you don't keep it because of what Christ has done. You keep it because of who you are by Christ's promise. So if you're a new creation, then you want to please him not because you go to heaven. You want to please him because you're already going to heaven by your faith. Chair 4. So in chair 4, this chair is the beginning of your salvation. And as it is, chair 4 is this one right here. When you believe in Jesus Christ, you're born again. You're a new creation. And it's just in your heart. It's not in your soul. Here's the soul, chair 5. Chair 6. But so even though that's true, God doesn't want to just forgive your sins, chair 4, but he also wants to cleanse you, clean you up so you can go to heaven, because only the clean go to heaven. If you're not cleaned up, if you're forgiven but you keep your sins, you're still sinning. And he's coming back for a bride without spot, without wrinkle, without any such thing. So if there's sin in your life, you want that to be cleansed voluntarily, not because you have to, you're not under a law, but because you want to. So there's a big difference between having to and wanting to. Now, chair 4 is that you're born again because you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll read that in a minute. And because you're born again, because you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're justified. But then you also need to be sanctified, chair 5. And then you also need to be glorified, because when men see your good works, so the works are, chair 6. When they see your good works, they'll give glory to your Father in heaven, because they know you didn't do that. That was Christ. You did that because Jesus was in you bearing that fruit. The love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and so on and so forth. So all those fruits of the Spirit are not flesh. They're not your old man cleaning up. They're a new creation. And so the church is a new creation, and this is the perfect man. The perfect man is 4, 5, and 6, and it goes on 7 and 8, but I'm not illustrating those today. So this is the perfect man right here. You're born of the Spirit, you're filled with the Spirit, you're led of the Spirit. You're born of the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, led of the Spirit. So led means after you're dead, you're led. After you're dead, you're led. But you have to be born in order to die, in order to rise. And so because of that, you then realize the reason I was born again was so that I just couldn't sin all over the place. It's that you do sin. How many know that Christians sin? How many know that Christians sin?
Amen.
So Christians sin, and you have to forgive them. And not only that, you have to pray for your enemies. You have to pray for the lost and so on and so forth. So that's part of our being clean, cleansed. So it's not enough to be forgiven, chair 4. You have to be cleansed, chair 5. And it says this. He not only forgives you for your sins, they're forgiven because Jesus died on the cross. But you're cleansed, and he says this. But he wants you to be cleansed from all unrighteousness. Wow, that would be a lot. If I had to do it, nothing would be done. But if Jesus has to do it, he's perfect, he can do it. So the same Lord I believe in chair 4, I also believe him as not just Savior, chair 4, but I also believe him as Lord, and I submit to him voluntarily. No one makes me do it. I want to do it. How does that happen? I don't know. It's a mystery. It's a mystery. I just know it happens. That you begin to love your wife, you begin to love your neighbor, you begin to love lost people, you begin to love everybody. Wow. Well, that brings peace on earth. And we haven't had that yet. Even though we're born again, chair 4, that's not enough. It doesn't produce it. You also have to be not only forgiven, but cleansed. Not only cleansed, but become a lover. So when you're a lover, when love is perfected, started here, continues here, and then ends here. This is the end of the law. So the end of the law is not just to worship God because of the good news. Worship God, faith cometh by hearing. So you worship God, but then you also want to be clean because you're a Christian and you love God. So you also want to get all the sin out of your life so that you can become lovers. This is the end of the law. This is the beginning of the law where you worship God because Jesus Christ has died for you. Your sins are forgiven. Now he's cleansing you from your soul so that you love him with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength. Love him with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength. But even though you're born again, that's just in your heart. But still the soul still sinneth. Christians still sin. But here, you're free from sin. You actually are able now to please God because you want to. You don't please God because you're scared. You don't please God because you don't want to go to hell. You please God because you're a Christian. And he says you are. You don't have to believe it, but I do. I believe that I am a new creation, though I don't behave like it all the time. I believe that I am. And so that I believe, that God completes what he starts. He says this, the good work I began in you, I will surely, that doesn't sound like me. I will surely complete, not with your cooperation. You don't have to help me at all. Come unto me, you are the laborer and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. I'll just trade you my rest. You just rest in me. Beholding him, we are changed. Beholding him, we are changed. You're not changed by doing anything. You're changed by not doing anything. By just simply allowing the Lord to tell you the truth, which sets you free. He tells you the truth, which sets you free. So, because God is like that, that he not only wants to forgive you of all your sins, but he also wants to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. All. All means no unrighteousness. Can that be possible in this world? Yes, if I don't do it. If I do it, it won't. I'll be nervous. If I do it, I know I can't keep it up. So, as I was a sinner, so I would still be if he hadn't forgiven me. Now he wants to cleanse me from, this is the guilt of sin, gone. This is the power of sin, not gone. So here I'm saved, here I'm being saved, and here I shall be saved. So God is now perfecting all of us in love because that's the power of love. The power of love is that God doesn't believe you're capable of being perfect. I don't know where he got that idea. I guess it's just experience with people. He notices that even Christians sin. Even Christians lie. Even Christians are not familiar with the truth. In other words, our deeds are evil. Right? I mean, you've noticed that. Christians let you down. Even you yourself let you down. That's the amazing thing is, wow, I was going to be a Christian. I was going to get up at 6 and all that stuff. But, you know, I just got lazy, tired, and so on and so forth. And so Christians sin all over the place. It's okay. Forgive them. Just as God has forgiven you, forgive them. And as you do that, you can just do it to anybody. Why? Because it's not you producing the fruit. You're just the branch in a vine that produces the fruit. Break off the branch, it won't produce any fruit. But be connected to Jesus just by faith, just by faith, just by faith. You don't have to cooperate. You don't have to agree to it. You don't have to renew your mind every day if you don't want to, but you're able to. You just say, God, there might be some wicked way in me that I don't know about. Clean it up. Reveal it to me. And if you wake up every morning saying those words, God, I can't think of any sins I've done. Oop, one jumps into my mind. Oh, yeah, that one. So you don't have to help him out. Thus, the Holy Spirit within you, chair 5, the Holy Spirit within you, chair 5, that leads you to not only be forgiven for your sin, but also cleansed from all unrighteousness so that you're able to walk in love. So this is the ultimate goal of you as a perfect person. You began here, heart, then here, soul, and then here, body. This is the fruit. The only thing the world looks at was not your heart, not your soul, because we don't even know anything about people's hearts and souls. Those are secret things that belong to God. Only God judges the heart. The secret things belong to God. So he knows your disposition long before you were created, before the foundation of the world. He already knows what you're going to think and say and do and feel and so on. Since he knows everything, he is not shocked when you sin. He's not surprised you rebelled. He's not amazed that, you know, the Tower of Babel was built by Nimrod. He's not amazed by that. It's like, yeah, that's normal. Why? Because they were ignorant. They were ignorant, just like the Jewish people are ignorant of Jesus' blood. So because they are ignorant, they have zeal for God. They're always before the wall, the Western Wall, always nodding and praying prayers and so on and so forth. But it goes nowhere. Right? Because the blood of Jesus hasn't cleansed them from their sin, chair 4. So therefore they can't get rid of sin because they're still under the yoke of bondage, chair 5. Because then they're not really lovers. They don't love their neighbor as themselves, even though they pretend to. Oh, we get along with... No, you don't. No, you're just flesh can't clean up. How many know that? Even though you're born again, that doesn't mean you can clean up. Because it's been forgiven in chair 4. Okay, I'm forgiven in my heart. I have a new heart, but I don't have a new soul yet. I don't have a new body yet. Now, am I losing everybody or... catching on to what I'm saying. Now, why I'm saying this is I don't think it's taught everywhere the way I just taught. Why? I'm a teacher. I know I'm a teacher. What does that mean? Well, it means I'm a prophet also, meaning I prophesy and tell you what time it is and what's going on. I tell you what God is doing now and in the future. How do I know all those things? That's easy. So easy. I read the Bible. I just read the Bible and it tells me everything about everything. Yes. Old Testament and New Testament. It's not milk. It's meat. It's something you have to chew on because the ordinary person with their reason and conscience is not able, not at all able to understand Christianity. And besides, Christians usually only chair 4. They just simply come to church and go through the motions and so on and so forth, and they never grow up. So they fall back into sin and license and legalism and all that stuff. Because of that, I don't want any of you to fall short of the glory of God. I want you to be ready when he comes. I want you to be like a bride without spot, without wrinkle, without any blemish or stain or anything to flaw you. I want you to be worthy. And that would be chair 6. And so you are not clean in chair 5 unless you're born again in chair 4. So you have to start here This is how it all starts. You repent of your sinfulness, and now you're ready to believe in Jesus. I'll read this in a minute. And then you're ready to then be cleansed from all unrighteousness. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. So he has to forgive us. And then to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Wow, that could take a week. That could take a week or more. Some people go more than a week. After they're born again, they don't want to clean up right away. I believe I see one or two people here. It's taken you more than a week to get rid of your sins. So fear is still there. Lust is still there. Bitterness is still there. Envy is still there. You know, pride and so on and so forth. So all those sins, they don't go in a minute just because you're born again. Chair four. So most Christians in most churches are lukewarm. They still love God, but they also love the world. They still love God, but they also love the world. Why? Because they haven't been cleaned. They haven't been cleaned up. In other words, the bride has to clean up in order to be a lover of others, because that's the end of the law. The end of the law is six. The beginning of the law is four. Four is the beginning. It's not he who begins, but it's he who endures, through chair five, and to the end. And the end of the law, love your neighbor as yourself. The first commandment, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy strength. There it is. All thy heart, all thy soul, all thy strength. There it is. That's worship. So true worship is not just singing or professing or saying words or doing deeds, because you could do them in the flesh. You could do them in the flesh. Most Christians do. I'm not criticizing. I'm just making a note. Is most Christians are sinful, wicked. Why? Because they've only been forgiven, but their sins are still there. The heart is still full of sin, even though they're Christians. They're lukewarm. They do love the world, but they also love Jesus. Well, that doesn't work out. Because Jesus is not going to come back for one of those that still loves the world. It says in the Bible, you know, don't love the world. Don't be conformed to this world. Be renewed by the, you know, renewing of your mind, transformed and so on and so forth by the word. So the word worketh. This word says you're sinful, confess. When you confess, you're forgiven. Okay. Now, that's just the first word. There's a second word, but also be clean. But then there's a third word. Also be purified and be a lover. So that's maturity. This is the one he's coming back for. This is the one he's coming back for. So how many of you have no sin in your life? Oh, I'm so surprised. Everybody has sin in their life. I don't care who you are. Until the trumpet sounds, when Jesus comes back, he'll be descending just like he ascended. He's going to be descending on a cloud. How many know that when you get your new body, you'll ride on clouds? Amen. And so when you're raptured up, when you're lifted up, you're not going to be here on earth anymore. No, 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 not. You'll be up in the air with Jesus. Well, that can't come from this chair, believer, or this chair, disciple, but you could if you were a lover. How many know faith, hope, and love? Faith here is that Jesus forgives me, and I have faith that his blood cleansed me from all sin. But here, I'm allowing the Holy Spirit, I'm getting baptized in the Holy Spirit, so that he changes me and gives me power. Because when you receive the Holy Spirit, you actually receive power to be a new man. But your first power is to kill your old self. I mean, it says that in the Bible. I mean, it doesn't matter if you believe it or not. I'm just saying, he loves you as you are. But then he says, you need to die because you're not clean. You're dirty. And so I have to do that. So it says, even if you're a Christian, you then say, Lord, if there's any wicked way in me. Of course, there are wicked ways in me. Everybody has fear. Everybody has doubt. Everybody has self-pity. Everybody has anger. Everybody, you know, so you just can on and on and on and on. So he wants all of those daily cleansed. I die daily, Paul says. I die daily. In other words, I die. So number two is the power is not just to produce chair six. It's absolutely to kill you so that you can be resurrected. Know him by the power of his resurrection. That's powerful. How many know that this message will not sell?
Amen.
I mean, it doesn't sell. I've preached it for years, and I've noticed people don't like it because their flesh hates it. Because they want to love God with all their heart, but then quit. Just stop. I don't want to go on. Because he might want to get my favorite sin. Well, God, yeah, wants all sin. He cleanses you from all unrighteousness. Okay, now let's read the scripture now that you understand where I'm going. It's always good when you begin something, Genesis. It's always good to tell the end. What I want is for you to be in chair 6 when I'm over. And then, if you are, raise your hand. I know none of you will, but it's okay. I like to preach anyway because God said preach. I like to teach anyway because God said teach. I like to tell the truth because God says tell the truth. And so, I don't need to be paid. I don't need anything. I love this message because it works for me. It works for me personally. And I love this message. It so makes sense to me according to the Bible. It doesn't make sense. It isn't something common sense can figure out that God loves sinners. We're the only people that have a God that loves sinners. People that despise him and hate him and break his laws. He's the only God like that. All the other gods, they don't like sinners. The Buddhists, they don't like sinners. The Muslims, they don't like sinners. Confucianists and so on was confused. They don't like God because he doesn't want you to have any sin to come to heaven. Well, you're not going to get there if you just chair 4. You're only going to get there if you chair 4 believer that becomes a disciple that becomes then under his authority to become a lover. Why? Because you want to give off love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and all those fruits of the Spirit. So God wants all of those. Why? Because that's how he recognizes the bride. And when you're fully ready, then he comes and snatches you away. He just comes back the second time. The first time he came, we killed him. How many know that? Just before he was King of Kings and Lord of Lords over everything, they decided to kill him. How many know the devil? That I think the devil was behind that. I think the devil didn't want him to make many, many Christians because then they would cast out the devil. Did you know that we overcome him, the devil, with the blood of Jesus? That's the first way. Then the second way is according to our testimony. And the third way is we love not our lives to the death. Well, as soon as we get to chair 6, we don't love our lives to the death. So chair 4, 5, and 6, the same thing. We love them by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony, and because we love not our lives to the death. That's true. That's exactly true for me. That's true. I don't care that I die. I don't care. I'm used to it. I get it every day that I die because I mess up every day. Every day I mess up. There's new sins that I'm so surprised that I did that, but God is not surprised. He knew that was in me. And so he's cleaning you up. You don't have to clean yourself up. How many know you don't know how to clean? When he cleans you, he's cleaning you with a kind of like a special cleaner, more than Tide, that kind of cleans you like Fuller's soap. White, you know, is not just clean, but more than normal persons clean.
Amen. We need it.
Right? So he detoxifies you.
Amen.
So what God wants is to do this. He wants you to, first of all, believe on Jesus, but keep your sin. You still have all your sins. But he just forgives them just because of the blood of Jesus. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. And that means I thank, I praise, I adore. I thank, I praise, I adore. This is worship. I thank him for doing everything. I praise him for being who he is. And I adore him and I love him because we're going to be married. So here I'll be a priest king who marries the King of Kings, Jesus. We haven't gotten to that part yet. We haven't even gotten to the Great Tribulation. That's when the bad guys all get together, the beast, the devil, and the Antichrist, and they kill off the harlot. And we haven't gotten to that yet. That is not what's going on today. It's prelude to it. You are about to see it, but not this minute, not today. Why? Because he's still dealing with us today. He's still walking among the lampstands, the seven churches. He's still walking along, and we're the last one. We're the seventh one. So, yeah, we're getting close to the New Deal. We're getting close to eternity. Well, we haven't gotten there yet. Because first of all, has to happen is there'll be a great tribulation for 1,260 days, 42 months, 3.5 years. It's in the Bible. But anyway, when that happens, you still aren't ready. Because right now, he's cleansing his temple, chair 5. What he's doing right now, not getting people saved and sanctified and so on. He wants to do the sanctified part. You're already saved. Now he wants to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So this is all in the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament. Both are the same. Both are the same. You can be a covenant child, Old Testament, but you still have to clean up. You can be covenant child, New Testament, but you still have to clean up. That's just your heart. Now you have to do your soul. Then you have to do your body. Now, is that clear? To me, it's really clear that just because you're born again doesn't mean you don't sin. Amen. That's why you have to forgive one another. Forgive one another. Love one another. Forgive them. Pray for them. Don't criticize them. I mean, know that most Christians are critical of other Christians. Well, I go to church in a hypocritical church. And every week I'm thinking, this is not right. It's not perfect. Well, guess what? No church is.
Amen.
Even our church is not. We have two or three sinners here. No. Everyone still sins, even though you're a Christian, you still sin. So I'm not surprised when somebody sins. I'm not shocked. Why? Because he saved me while I was yet a sinner. You can be a sinner, but he loves you. Completely loves you. I mean, he died for you. I mean, he paid the ultimate price. This is the love of God right here, is that he died for us because we had difficulty dying.
Amen.
It's not easy for your flesh to die.
Right.
I'm Jesus. Kill your soul. I don't want to. I want to keep myself. I want to keep... the biggest problem for you is not the devil. The biggest problem for you is you. You're the problem inside of you. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. I see two saints that just walked in.
Amen.
And they're full of sin. I mean, I just know that. I mean, the Holy Spirit spoke that to me right there. No, he didn't speak it to me because I already know it's written in the Bible that Christians still sin. And so God wants you to be born again, then filled with the Spirit, then led of the Spirit. He wants you to be, you know, faith, hope, love. He wants you to be outer court, holy place, holy of holies. And I could go on and on. Because the whole scripture is just what I just said. The whole scripture, Old and New Testament, you can go anywhere in the Bible, and I can tell you it's that same pattern. That's what God wants. And only Christians can do it, because they're the light of the world and the salt of the earth and all that kind of stuff. They're the temple, the dwelling place of the living God. And God dwells in us through Jesus Christ, because God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. Because he's holy. If he's holy, he wants you to be holy. So in the Old Testament, he says, I want you, if I'm perfect, I want you to be perfect. Because we're his stewards on earth, right? So we are positioned to be his stewards, meaning whatever he says, I do. Whatever he says, I say. So I want to say what he says and do what he does, and I want to be a Christian. That's a Christian. How many know Christians aren't Christian? I mean, that's obvious. I mean, Christians don't behave like Christians yet. I mean, someday we will. When that trumpet sounds, you get your new body and your new soul. Choo, boop, boop, just like that. So as soon as he comes back, he's got his reward with him, and he rewards you with, oh, here's your new body and here's your new soul. Now you can ride on clouds. You can ascend up into heaven. You can be raptured out of here, not pre-trib, but pre-wrath, because the wrath is all for bad guys. So the first thing he does when he comes back, well, what's the point of talking about that? Because we're not there yet. So what he's doing today, let's talk about that. He's cleansing his church. He wants his church to be without spot, without wrinkle, without any such thing, chair 6. So that to do that, he has to kill you in chair 5, because that's why he birthed you. He borned you again of the Spirit, so now that he can then have you cooperate, this way you cooperate is just, yeah, I believe. I believe that Jesus does it all. I don't believe I do anything to merit God's approval. I know I'm not qualified. I know I didn't deserve it. Thank you, Jesus. That's where the thanks comes from. Thank you, Jesus. You forgave me for all my sins. I don't even know what they all are. But sooner or later, the longer you live, the more your sins come out. If you're self-pitying, it'll come out. Thank God. I don't think we have any people like that. Do we?
Probably.
No, I don't think so. Maybe Alex. I mean, I could probably name any sin and you might do it. Yeah, right. So forgive Alex. Just forgive him. Why is God like that? I don't know. He is. We're the only God that has a true God. All the other gods are idols. They're nothing. They are zero. And since you are not able to not sin, you are not able to not sin. You can't even overcome one sin. Cannot. Not according to the way God judges. The way man judges, you're okay. But the way God judges, you're not. And so we look down on people that commit murder and adultery and all that stuff. But the truth is, we're all alike. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. If all have sinned, then all have sinned. And we're part of the all. So even Christians sin. Let's read that. It's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. Did you know that if you say to God, God, I haven't sinned, you make God a liar. And he can't. Because God, let God be true and every man a liar. You can lie, but he can't. If he says you're a sinner, you have to agree with him. Homologeo. That's the Greek word for say the same thing God has said. Homo means same in Greek. And then logeo, it comes from the word lego, which means speak. So same speak. If God says you're a sinner, then you're a sinner. But now that you are a saint, right here, you're a saint here, well then you're a saint. And so agree with him. So the world does it differently than I'm about to say. The world says, let's clean up first, merit, you know, let's confess our sins first. God, I'm no good, but I'm trying to be good, so just give me a reward. No, he won't do that. You don't confess your sins. If you don't confess your sins in the world's eyes, you're not worthy. But in God's eyes, you're worthy as a sinner. He loves you while you're yet a sinner. So here, he completely forgives your sin just because Jesus died on the cross. Wow, that's amazing. He's a sub. He subs for me, and he says, my death purchases everybody who's ever lived. They don't have to die. Wow. So while you're alive, you need to make that decision. I think I'll trust in Jesus. I think I'll give all my heart to Jesus. So he's faithful and just to forgive and then to cleanse. And then you're a lover. Because now that you've been cleansed, there's no sin in you. And you're a lover. Because God is love. So you're love. Because God is perfect. So you're perfect. But you didn't do that. Jesus, who's in you, doeth that. So he's the light. You remember he said that? I am the light of the world. So he is the light. Now he says, we're the light. Why? Because he's in us. And so since he's in us, he's in our heart. But he's not yet in our soul. But he's not yet in our life, our behavior, our outward deeds. But I want everyone here to be a complete, total, 100% Christian when Jesus comes back. Otherwise, he flunked. He failed. And so I don't want that. So make sure you're completely pure. How do you do it? By faith. You do it by faith. You do it everything by faith. Why? Because you have faith that Jesus, who began a good work in you, he will surely complete it.
Amen.
Wow. That's amazing. This is so good, I don't know if I should preach it. Because it is too good to be true. But it is true. This is the word of God, that we have a God, the real God, the really authentic God. We have a real God who really sent his son into the world to be killed by us. So that's the first thing that people did is, I don't like the way this guy's saying stuff like that. And the Jewish people, they determined, I'm going to kill that guy because that guy is ruining our whole law thing. We're trying to keep the law here. We're trying to behave ourselves. But as Christians, I want you to reverse that. I want you to confess here your faith before you confess your sin. In other words, I want you to confess your faith in Jesus forgiving you before you confess your sins, which you still have, even though they're in your soul and not in your heart. You don't have, if you're a Christian and you believe in Jesus, I don't want to say how many here are, but let's say you're a Christian and you believe in Jesus. Wow, you've been forgiven. So that's a good beginning. But now you have to endure until you get to the end, where you're loving your neighbor as yourself, even loving your enemies as yourself. Loving believers, loving everybody, love, 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 love. Okay, so now I love God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength. I also then love my neighbor, and this is what he's looking for, as myself. That's the end of the law. You just completed the law, but you didn't do any of it. God did all of this. God died for you. Then he now, he actually lives in you. So he's working. This is what's for you. Now it's in you. And then it's going to be through you. He did all that. He did everything. He did everything. He did everything. I'm sorry for people listening to this on a tape, because these tapes go all over the world. Because they can't see the signs I have up. Because the signs are kind of like a parable. They kind of like spell it out. Ah, I see what he's saying. This is always faith. This is always hope. This is always love. This is always thank you. This is always praise you. This is always lover. It's always. I will be a king and a priest after the order of Melchizedek, just like Jesus is. Now, if this thing sells in Dallas, it could sell anywhere. I wouldn't buy this. If I were a pagan, I would not buy this. I would buy one of the others that said, you have to earn your way. That's getting under a law, you know, behave yourself. All religions say that. Behave yourself. This is the only religion that says don't. This is the only religion that says don't behave yourself. Jesus has already behaved for you. I like that. I love that. Jesus, what? He what? How did he do that? Well, he knew you were coming. Huh? He must be from an unseen world, because I can't imagine anyone dying for me before I'm even born. But he did. So he died for everybody that's ever lived. Did you know that if God wants to, he can forgive any sinner? Did you know that? He could show mercy to any sinner. He could be gracious to any sinner. Okay. Grace is this word in the Old Testament, Hanan, C-H-A-N-A-N. Hanan is the Hebrew word for grace. This is what he says. I will be gracious to whomever I want to. Well, like whomever, that like a sinner? Yes. So God reserves the right to forgive sinners. Why? Because all of us are. Everybody he's ever met is a sinner. How many know all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God? It's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. It says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So since all have sinned, you grew up in sin. In fact, you were conceived. You didn't just get birth that way. You were actually sinning and while you're in the womb. I didn't say that. That's in the Bible. In the Bible, David says, in sin did my mother conceive me. So that's powerful. Was it her sin or my sin? It doesn't matter. When you come out, you'll be a sinner. The first thing babies do when they come out, "Hi, Mom, how can I help?" No, they do not say that. They can't even speak English. They don't do anything. But first thing a baby does is, I don't like it here. I was in a warm womb. I was in a nice, comfortable, safe place. And now, this place is cold. This place is cold. A little baby, I want milk. I want nourishment. I'm looking for something. So God has designed us so that you can't understand the Bible unless you're born again. I'm going to say it again. You can't understand the Bible. You can read it. Faith comes by hearing. You can read it, but it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. Because everything in the Bible is good news, good news, good news, good news. Praise God.
They gave us a wrong room assignment. Our sound tech set up in this room by mistake when it should have been.
I'm so sorry.
Well, so, no. No, it's powerful. Just go for it. No, you're welcome. You're welcome. But you can sit down if you want and listen. So everything is free in the kingdom of God. How many know everything is free? If it costs anything, you don't have the money. You're not rich enough to buy this truth. But this truth will set you free forever.
Hallelujah.
So everybody here is happy whether you believe it or feel it or not. You're happy. Because Jesus said, "Happy is the man that trusts in the Lord." That's me. I do. So if you want that, just decide. Hey, I'd like that. I'd like everything to go my way. Hey, you decide. So this is so good news. Man, we're not going to have those speakers anymore? That's great. It's awesome. So God has rigged it up. How many knows God can do anything he wants to do? And he's rigged it up so that you always win.
Amen.
He doesn't want anyone to perish. Did you know that God desires not the death of any sinner? God desires not the death of any sinner. He's not pleased with a death of a sinner. He loves sinners. We're the only one that has a God that loves sinners. I mean, he's looking for them. God, wish I could find a sinner. Well, it's everybody. And so everybody on earth is then subject to God, because you're a sinner. And he loves you while you're yet sinning. I mean, while you're in the midst of it, he still loves you. And he won't change his mind and say, "Well, I forgave you the other day, but after the two things you did today, I'm rejecting you." He can't do that. God can't do that. Once he says he loves you, he will not change his mind ever. Ever, no matter what you think or say or do. So he doesn't want you to clean up chair 6. He wants to clean you up. He wants to change everything. He wants to get all the credit, all the glory. God wants all the glory. What's he going to do with it? Just give it to you. As soon as he gets all the glory, he's going to give it to you free. Come by without money. That's in the Old Testament. Come by without money. You don't need price. You don't need money. Just whatever it costs, don't worry about it, because Jesus will do it for you. He's perfect. He's perfect. And he's rich. And his father owns the cattle on 1,000 years. So he's not really nervous about anything. He knows you are a failure without him.
That's right.
You cannot build this marriage, this life, this church, this anything, business. You can't do anything, politics. You can't do it without him.
That's right.
But everyone tries. Right. Everyone. I mean, it's great. The first guy that built a big tower, Nimrod, he built this big tower, and he was trying to build the kingdom of heaven on earth without God. That's silly. Was God mad at him? No. Did he curse him? No. Is he cursed? I don't know. About that, God knows his heart. But I know this, he's not mad at him. He loved him. So he'll forgive any sinner, any point. I don't care what you've done, thought, said, he'll forgive you. He's a forgiving father.
Amen.
I wish other ministers would preach what I'm preaching, because it's right. It's true. And it's good. And it works. The main thing is, it works. because what Jesus says is the truth, and you can't get it from anyone else. You can't read Albert Schweitzer. You can't read some novel or something man-made thing. It won't tell you the truth. And even if it said something true, it wouldn't be truth that would set you free. Sometimes people say things that seem true to you, but they're only seeming. They really won't save you. Only the blood of Jesus. 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 How many people don't like that religion? Everybody. Nobody likes that thing that, why did he have to do that? Why did he shed his blood? I don't know. I'm not God. I don't know why he did, but he did. And he said, you needed that. That will cleanse you. Not only does the blood forgive you, it also cleanses you and it also purifies you so that you're perfect. Ah, I like this perfection. But you have to die to do that. But you have to be born again, to die again, to be resurrected again, to newness of life. So, good news. I always tell the good news. You only need to come once to this church, because if you come a second time, I'll just say the same thing. I'll say it in a different way. I'll use different scriptures, but I just borrow it all from the Bible, right? Because it's so good. It's so good. It's incredibly good. If it's good for me, it's good for you.
We need it.
It's good news. Why? Because God, forget you. It's really all about God. This Bible is really about God exposing himself. It's about God showing how he and the Son love each other and all that kind of stuff and the Holy Spirit and so on. They're just showing that unlike Aphrodite and Mercury, who don't like each other, they're jealous and so on, they're like people made. But God is really God. And he's perfect. He's perfect. And so he loves you with a perfect love. You cannot find any sinner on earth that he won't forgive. I don't care who you name, everybody's thinking. I don't care who you name, there is no sinner on earth that he won't forgive. He died for all men. Totally. And he loves them completely. So, the fact that you might think what I'm preaching won't sell in Dallas, the truth is it'll sell anywhere. The truth is, there are millions of people around the world, literally, who believe what I preach. Why? Because am I interesting? No. I just read the Bible and just repeat the Bible. But it's so good that Muslims believe it. Muslims believe it. It's so true that Hindus believe it. Buddhists believe it. Islamic people believe it. It doesn't matter who believes it. There's no one that can escape it, because it's the truth. It's the truth. What a privilege you have of being able to share this with people, even without words. You can just share it by smiling, because they'll resent that. What are you smiling for? You get on the elevator and everybody's grim, standing there. Hallelujah! You know, they won't like you. But just smiling, they wonder, what's wrong with you? Why are you smiling? If you've ever gone to Russia, which I have, if you've ever gone to different parts of the world, most people are grim. Most people in especially Europe and the kind of the civilized portion of the earth, they're sad. And you can see them. And I'm naughty to do this. It's a sin. But sometimes I'll be sitting on a mashrutka in Kiev or wherever. And I'll just realize everyone is grim on here. I think I'll just say hallelujah. See what happens. Hallelujah! You know, people go like, whoa. I mean, they don't want to look. They don't want to look at that. Just keep your eyes, because you get in trouble in a communist country if you don't behave yourself. They're really rigid on everyone conforming. Are you familiar with what I'm saying? The world is not happy, but I am. And so that's contagious. Did you know that people that are happy actually influence other people that are unhappy? Why are you happy? What's happening? Jesus. Oh, I tried him. It didn't work. How many people have tried Jesus and it didn't work? Because churches always preach bad news. I don't care what's on the door of their church. It might say grace, but they're also teaching law. Behave yourself. Most Christians do not distinguish between people that behave themselves and Christians. Now, I'm reversing it. I'm saying, I want you to confess your faith before you confess your sin. Don't confess your sin. Holiness is a result of happiness. Did you hear this? This is powerful. So holiness here. By the way, the Hebrew word for confessing your sin is not... This is going to be a surprise to you. It's actually praise. It's actually exaltation. So when Hebrews... Now, they're kind of sad people. But because they're always thinking about, you know, I got to behave. But still... The word for it, the word that's used, is actually rejoice. Be happy. Exalt yourself. Why? Because God is good. And they know that. That's written in the Bible. But they know that God is good. So you should, when you confess your sins, don't be morbid. Don't be sad. There's no condemnation. When you confess your sins... Even the Jewish people understand this. When you confess your sins, it's praise. Amen. It's happiness. It's joy. And that's where their worship comes from. And so it's the same in our language also. Confessing is homologeo. Say the same thing that God says. If he says you're a sinner, you are. If he says you're a saint, you are. And that's it. And he says you're a saint if you just arrive here. But then you need to get rid of your sin here so that you can be perfect here. So when you're perfect, that means you died because you were born. You're born to die, to resurrect. So this is perfect right here. Is when you love your neighbor as yourself, you've now achieved. Love is the fulfillment of the law. Not only love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, but it's also the fulfillment of the law. It's the second commandment. Jesus was asked that over and over again by the Jewish scribes and Pharisees. They wanted to know, well, what's the great commandment? You know, it's just this one. It's just summarized in two. Just summarized first four, second six. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. Wow. And a second one is like unto it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Now, that's the end. You've done everything you have to do. Isn't that interesting? How simple it is. All you got to do is love God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength. Nobody can do it. Nobody can do it. Nobody can do it. Nobody's ever done it. Nobody. At any time has anyone ever obeyed God's law. Except
Jesus.
Amen. Except Jesus. He loved God with all his heart, with all his soul, with all his strength, and loved his neighbor for himself. Did it for you. 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 Did it for everybody here. He already did it. All you got to do is have faith. So he doesn't want you to work the law. He doesn't want you to labor. He doesn't want you to be burdened down. He doesn't want you to be, you know, working at it. He wants you to rest. So he said, come unto me. All you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest.
That's right.
Don't be a Buddhist. Don't be a Catholic. Don't be a Protestant or whatever that's working. Amen. Be one that's not working. Let Jesus do it all. He's perfect.
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful? I mean, that's worth a shout.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
I know you can't stand on your chair right now and say, hallelujah, you know, but still... I could, but still, Peggy doesn't want me to. But you really need to realize, wow, this is so good news. And Christians should be happy all the time. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I will say rejoice. The word always gives that sentence away. Rejoice in the Lord always. Why? Yeah, because even the good work he began, he will surely complete. So that when he comes back, he's going to find his bride spotless. That's going to be us. Why? Because you heard the good news today? No. Because you went through this thing, and how'd you do it? You didn't. You just watched Jesus do it. Jesus did this. Jesus did this. Jesus did this. You're perfect. So, I never work at anything. Peggy can tell you, I'm not a good husband. I'm not a good father. I'm not a good anything. I'm not a good pastor. I'm not anything. That is human assessment. But God likes me, loves me completely. Why? Because I don't do anything. Because I'm not afraid of looking at all my sins. I confess my sins, chair 5, after I confess my faith. We reverse it for everybody else. They confess first their sins so that they can merit the faith. Expiate for their sins. No, I don't do it that way. I do it the way God says. This is God's program. God is confess first your faith, then confess your sins. Why? Because all you have to do is confess. I told you it's a happy word. It's a praise word. It's thanksgiving word. This is the basis of their worship in Judaism and in Christianity. Though they're ignorant of it. I mean, they have a zeal for God, but they're ignorant of it. It doesn't matter. The word they actually use says that. It says that. So God's word that he wants us to believe is that he is faithful and just to forgive, chair 4, to cleanse from all unrighteousness, all sin, be gone. And then to perfect you, then to purify you. You're mature. You're marriageable age. Right here, you're not of age over here. This is juvenile. Little children. This is mature men and women. This is mature mothers and fathers. This is the mature. You can't be married if you're only 8. I know people do. But that's not scriptural. You should wait until you're mature, able. And the reason they do it is because of sin. I mean, just sinful cultures do that. Because they want people to get into something before they know what they're doing. And they do a lot of bad things often to people because they want control, control, control. But God doesn't have any control. He has no control over you. None. He could, but he doesn't. He could control you. He doesn't want to. He wants it to be free. He wants it to be willing. He wants you to do it with all your heart and soul and strength. So, God is good.
Amen.
Now, let's read the scripture. Okay. I'm going to read John 3:15. Jesus said to her, wait a minute, that's the wrong one. No, that whosoever, 3:15, believeth in him, chair 4, should not perish, but have everlasting life. Wow, that's amazing. All you have to do, Ginny, just believe. Just believe that God loves you, not that you love God. Not that you love God. He didn't choose you because you loved him first. He chose you because you couldn't love, didn't love, won't love. And so that's why he loves you. Because you don't have any hope without him. You don't have any faith without him. You don't have anything. So, this is what it says. I'm just reading you what God's word says. That whosoever, that means anybody, believeth in him, Jesus Christ, should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten. That means Jesus was Son of God and he became Son of Man that day. This day I have begotten thee. That's the word right there. This day. That means the time he came into the world. 4,000 years into the world, that's when he came. Now, when Jesus was in the world, he didn't have words about conscience. He didn't have words about keeping the law. He only had one word. Repent, which means rejoice. That's what it means. It means laugh. Because the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, is at hand. Just take it. It's right here. It's in my hands. And so I'm giving it to you. Same thing John said in chapter 3. Repent. Metanoia. Change your mind. Don't think like you have to do this in order to get this. Say this. You don't have to do anything. I've done it for you. It's amazing. God has already done everything for you, and now you're happy.
Amen.
I didn't say that. He did. As soon as you believe, that's the only thing that makes him happy. Don't do anything. I don't want you to help. I don't want you to cooperate. I want to do it all. Why? Because he's perfect.
Amen.
He's perfect. He's perfect. He knows your works are all... If you did a work, you'd have a little bit of pride in it. And you'd put your fingerprint on it. I did this. This is mine. And he knows that. There's pride in a man when you do something good and you want credit for it. Right? I was awesome. I was amazing. That's pride. And God doesn't want that. Why? Because it's too much. You put your fingerprint on it. That was a work. No, don't do that. I just want you to know I did that. He isn't interested in what you did. Your behavior does not impress him. Your behavior, they're all gone.
Do you all see any mic stands? I'm sorry.
Do we have any mic stands?
Are there any mic stands?
Closet.
Do you look in the closet?
Yeah, you can look.
Sorry.
Amen. Praise God. Don't look over there. Now, everything is great. It couldn't be better.
Amen.
It could not be better. Why? Because you didn't do it. Because you didn't do it. If you had done it, you'd have built the Tower of Babel. If you had done it, it would be you'd be making a name for yourself. I painted this painting. I decorated this house. I got this job. I married so-and-so, my trophy. Those are all people things. People things don't count with God. The only thing that counts with God is take what he offers. It's free. Everything God offers is free. It doesn't cost a thing.
Amen.
So, I declare that those two sinners that walked in late, I just want you to know, perfect. Perfect people. Those people are perfect. Why? Because they believe in Jesus.
Amen.
That's all. That's all that's kept your marriage and life and everything together is Jesus. Why? Because you had faith that Jesus would forgive you all your sins. He doesn't care about sin. He died for them. He doesn't care about them. He did that for you. He didn't want you to do it. He wanted to do it. So he wants you to be happy. You know, this will produce incredible... Yeah, you can just walk right through us.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Woohoo, woohoo. So, since he did everything, he just wants you to thank him.
Amen.
That's all. Now, thanking is not a word. I'm thanking him because he did everything that needed to be done.
Amen.
So, thanking him isn't a work. It is not a work. It's just a response to the fact that he did all the work for you on your behalf. Do you understand it? No.
Got it.
Nobody understands that. You can read it all day long, but it doesn't make any sense. You can feel it, but the feeling won't help. Or you can, will it. I want that. No, but it doesn't help. He did it, and that's it. And it's just free. Just take it. If you want it, take it. This is what made Dallas great. People just were here, and they heard about it, and they said, I want one of those. So that's what made Dallas great. It's great. It's better than Fort Worth. In Fort Worth, we still have dung on our boots. It's Cowtown. And so it's still that way. But Dallas is sophisticated. I mean, I like Dallas. It's so sophisticated here. Do you all understand what I'm saying? What I'm saying is, you don't know what you're saying. Everything is fine with God. And do you know what? He absolutely guarantees that this thing will be successful. Whether everyone believes it or not, I'm just telling you, he said, no, I'll have a multitude of people that are believers in faith alone. Faith alone. Sola fide. Faith alone. Only faith. Sola gratia. Only grace. Sola Christi. Only Christ. Sola Scriptura. Only Scripture. Only, only, only. That's what made the Reformation change the world. The modern world was born out of the Reformation, which is 500 years ago today. It's 500 years ago, October 31. That's when it all started. The modern world was born at that time because the individual became real. The individual prior to that was not real. This having faith is a personal, individual thing because you have a conscience. Everybody's born with a conscience. Everybody has a conscience. No matter you feel it or not, it's there to say wrong, right, wrong, right. It doesn't tell you much more, but it just says wrong, right. So everybody has a conscience that says, do right, don't do wrong. Everybody. There's not any person on earth that can't be a hypocrite. They can all be hypocrites. They don't want to say, I'm sorry. They don't want to say, I love you. They don't want to say anything. But God tells you what to say, but he knows you won't do it, so he does it for you. He knows you won't do it, so he does it for you with all his heart, with all his soul, with all his strength. And he did it for you. So that you could then say. So let's read on. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. He's not wanting to condemn anyone, any inhabitant, any person. But that the world through him might be saved. Saved is all three of those chairs. Oh, yeah. Saved is all three of those chairs. It's a process. He that believeth on him, verse 18, is not condemned. If you believe, you're not condemned. All you got to do is believe, then you're not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already. In other words, if you don't believe, that means you're condemned already. And you need to know that because he's trying to give you a free gift. He doesn't want you to work at it. He just wants you to receive it. So he's wanting you to know the good news. If you don't believe, well, then you're condemned. But, you know, however you play it, you're not going to win. You can't win this because God doesn't want anyone to work. He wants no one to labor, work, be proud, be arrogant, be strong, be fearful, be nervous. You know, he doesn't want that. No sweat. With God, there's no sweat.
Amen.
You have never seen me sad. Never.
Amen.
And I never will be. Why? I'm fixed. My heart is fixed. My heart is fixed. Why? Because I believe God loves me just the way I am. And I believe that this is free if I want to. He promised, and I'm living by promises. He promised not only to save me through his blood, but also to cleanse me from all sin through his blood. But he also promised through his blood to perfect me. And so, wow, that blood accomplishes a lot. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, verse 19, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light. So, did you know that people love darkness? Darkness would be try to work, try to please God with your works. Try to make an offering that God will accept. He won't. He won't accept anything you offer because you're not able to do it. You are the branch grafted in by God the Father into his Son, Jesus the Son, who is the vine. He's the vine dresser. And all the fruit that you bear is not you. It's that you have a relationship with Jesus of faith. That's it. That's it. It's over. You have a relationship with Jesus. You're perfect. You're now perfect. All you got to do is believe. It's amazing. I wish I had a better message than the one I'm having right now. Because to me, that's the end of the matter. That's the end of the matter. I believe. How did I do it? I just read it. All I did was read the document. I read the text. And it says, if you believe, you have eternal life. That's all. I just read it. And the first sentence and the second sentence and the third sentence and the fourth sentence, they all say the same thing. If you believe, you have eternal life. Wow. That's ridiculous.
Amen.
This is the most ridiculous religion I've ever heard of. That God loves sinners.
Mm.
That's silly. But he does. He's holy, but he likes people that are not. Did you know you have to be ungodly in order to receive this? You have to be a sinner. And I'm looking around and I'm seeing a few. It's just like, yeah. So you have to be a sinner. You actually have to be not godly. He only saves the ungodly. He's never saved a righteous person ever. Think not, he said, that I've come to save the righteous, because there aren't any. But I've come to save sinners who repent.
Amen.
In other words, sinners who repent, meaning I'm not going to do that anymore, and the only way I can not do it is trust in the blood of Jesus. I'll trust in the blood of Jesus for my salvation. But this is not salvation. This is salvation. All three of these are salvation. It's a process. It's not a one-time event. Here, he forgives your sin. Here, he removes your sin, takes away the sin, so it's not there. So when he looks at you, he looks at a saint. Here's what you look like. This is who you are. And when you do that, you have to do it in faith. You have to do this in faith. You have to do this in faith. Faith, faith, faith. Hope, hope, hope. Faith, hope, love. It's all the same. It's just that it takes different forms. Now, the last couple verses, I like these two. 20. For everyone that doeth evil hates the light. Jesus is the light. Neither comes to the light, lest his deeds be reproved. That's why don't do deeds, because they'll be reproved. But he that doeth truth, Jesus is the truth, cometh to the light, Jesus is the light, that his deeds may be manifest, made manifest, that they are wrought in God. So that all your deeds as a Christian are wrought in God. Where do they come from? Ah, this is the secret, right here. That you confess your faith here, so that all your deeds then come out of faith, and then I confess my sins. Why do I confess them? I'm just telling Jesus, work on it. If I have a sin in myself, fix it. Fix it. You're the worker. You're the guy that does it all. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And he works on it to get rid of the, not just the guilt of sin, but the power of sin over me. Otherwise, I'll just fall into sin. So if I only have this, I'll still fall into sin. But if I have this, where he's starting to remove the sin, cleanse me, every day, cleanse me. Have you ever tried to wash a dish, or it's an old, you know, old something? It takes a lot of cleaning to clean it up, to renew it. And sometimes you just throw it out and get another one. But Jesus wants you to say, let me do it. I know how to clean that and make it perfect. I'll make Ginny perfect. Well, if you can do that, you'd be God. I am. I am. And so Jesus wants everyone here to be happy all the time. Everyone here to be happy all the time. How many know that's something you can't do? You can't do it. It's either a gift or it's not. You're happy just because you read the Bible. You're happy just because you read it and it said all these things that it's saying. Now, read the last verse. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light. Jesus is the light. He's the truth. That his deeds, ours, may be manifest, made manifest, that they are wrought in God. So the only way that God is going to accept you, if your deeds right here, this is deeds, this is deeds, this is your behavior, this is your life. Your deeds are wrought in God. In other words, Jesus did them.
Amen.
God did them through the Holy Spirit. God did them through the Holy Spirit. This is the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and it leads to this fruit. This fruit came from the fact that Jesus is in me, and now he's working that all in me to remove the guilt and the shame and so on and so forth, so that I can be a lover. That's all. So when we get to heaven, it'll not be a surprise. Aren't you glad that I'm teaching this?
Yes.
You know why? Because it's so good news.
Amen.
But it's the truth. I can preach out of any book of the Bible. I read it all the time. All the time. Why? Because it's good.
It is good.
Old Testament and New Testament.
Mm-hmm.
I can read anything in the Old Testament and make it good.
Amen.
I'll just twist it and force it to it says good. Why? Because the letter of the law killeth, but the spirit of the law giveth life.
Praise the Lord.
And Jesus said, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly.
Amen.
More abundantly. Amen. More than just bios. You now have Zoe, which is eternal life. So he's not talking about you're living, existing. No, he's not talking about that, bios. He's talking about not biological life. He's talking about spiritual life. You now are born of the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, led of the Spirit. When you're filled with something, you're emptied of something. The thing you're emptied of is you. When you're a Christian, you lose your life, that's how you find it. You lose your life, you actually say, you know what, God, I'm not going to live my life anymore where I make the decisions. I'm going to let you make all my decisions because you're smarter than me. And you're stronger than me. And you're gooder than me. So I'm just going to trust you. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
How many know that apart from him, you are able to do nothing?
That's right.
I didn't say this. Jesus said it. Apart from me, you can do nothing.
That's right.
I can do a lot of things. Well, that's where you're wrong. You can't do anything that is to make a right relationship with God. You have enmity against God. Everything you think and say and do is at enmity against God. Your mind will never get it. Your emotions will never get it. Your will will never get this. And your behavior will never get this. So this goes against everything in you. The Bible is written to kill you in chair 5 in order to resurrect you in chair 6. First it borns you again, then it gives you new life, but Jesus does all of it. He does everything there. Everything there, that's a gift, that's a gift, that's a gift, that's a gift, that's a gift. That's all gifts. Just take it. What do you have to do? Nothing. Just read. If it cometh by hearing. You just read it and you say, wow, that's good news. Now, can you think of anything in the Bible that is not true? Well, I guess I stumped you, but the point is you can't. There's nothing in there that's not true. It's all true. It's true. And so Jesus once said to him, if you have any sin in me, say it. If you think I sinned, say it. Did I break the Roman law? Did I break I pay my tithes and so on. I pay my annual, tribute and so on and so forth. I pay everything. Why? He didn't break the Roman law. Did he break the Jewish law? He didn't. He was the end of the law. Did he break the moral law? Did he break any law? He didn't break any law. He did way more than the law required. And you, who are ordinary, can actually do extraordinary things because Jesus, who is extraordinary, is living inside of you. So therefore, there's nothing too hard for God. It's powerful. It's powerful.
Amen.
All right. Did I bless anybody?
Absolutely.
Even if I didn't, just say I did.
Always.
Yeah, that was good.
Always.
That was good news. Yeah, that was good news. Right. Because I made it good, but no. I didn't make it good. It is good news.
Amen.
Because everything in there is free gift. Free gift. Eternal life is a free gift. How does it come from? Hanan and Chesed. Those are two Hebrew words, which means grace and mercy.
Amen.
And it always leads to power. Chair 6. Power is your ability to do stuff. So now you're made in the image of God. This way, chair 4. Restores that. And chair 5 then kills you off so that you don't mess it up, so that you can do chair 6, which is to be like God. Now, everything here in 6 is you're like God. How did you do it? You didn't. Jesus did it. Jesus did it. The one you're related to. So keep this relationship. I'm going to pull these chairs together. Keep this relationship here, this process. Is all Jesus. It's just a free gift. So, is everybody happy?
Amen.
Would anyone like to give a testimony today? Just one or two. Anyone? Hey, I was blessed today. That was awesome, Pastor. Not because of you, but because of Jesus. Yeah.
You cleared up world, sometimes when I share the gospel, I'm wondering about, do they have to confess their sins first, and, you know?
Good.
Or can I just lead them straight in?
Right.
And you confirmed what the Bible says.
Right.
Which was, Jesus said, well, it says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart, God raised him from the dead.
That's it.
Amen.
You don't have to, like, hit him with a, you know, obviously it's, you know, all of sin falls short of the glory of God. That's self-evident.
Right.
You know, but it's clear right. with the scripture.
It's good.
And then, boom.
Amen.
Confess your faith before you confess your sins. Confess your faith before. Why do you confess them? That's because who you are. You are a new creation. That's all you're confessing. Yeah. You didn't do it. This is a gift. This is all a gift. But here, you're confessing your sins after you're a Christian. Why? Not like everybody else. Why? Because here he said, his blood cleanses you, now you have faith. But it's just faith in my heart. It's not faith in my soul, not faith in my life. Well, you get that easily. This is for others. The reason I kill me is so I can love them.
Amen.
That's your life. That is your life, is that you live for others. How do you do that? You can't. But God can. So you can't. Because you can't live for others. You'll always take for yourself. Unless you're dead. But he does it. Ah, there it is. So now I'm living for others. Who else? Hallelujah. Second testimony. Karen.
Well, I had something very unique happen to me a couple of weeks ago. I had gone, first let me say, your three chairs up there are part of your 8 parts to prayer.
Yes.
And it happens in that order. And if any of you wonder how to best pray, get Jim's little booklet, 8 Parts to Prayer, because it tells it as Christ tells it. But my what I'm here to share is, I was shopping at a grocery store and had a bunch of groceries put in my cart, which I did. And I was driving home, got home, and the thought came, just check to make sure you have your wallet. And I looked in my purse and I didn't have it. And it's a big old thing. And I didn't have it. I checked and checked. And I thought, oh no, I don't know where I left it at the store. I wasn't even out of the car. I just drove back to the store. Meantime, I'm saying, Father, please let it be safe. Everything I have is in there. I really need your help on this. And to also calm me and know that it's already done and it's already where it's supposed to be and it is safe. So I park, I look around the area, I look in the shopping cart thinking, well, maybe I set it down in the shopping cart. They picked up the shopping carts and took it back in. So anyway, there weren't any shopping carts around. Everything had been brought in. So I went in my first place and just looked at the shopping carts a little bit. And no, nothing's there. So I went to the... let me back up just for a second. As I was walking towards the... As I was walking towards the store itself, this truck came in front of me, and I was like, geez, I just want to get there as soon as possible. Now I have to wait. He didn't wait for me. I have to wait for him. Mm-hmm. So I waited till he passed, and then I went in. I walked to the cash register, mm-hmm. and I said, did you happen to see a wallet, mm-hmm. Lying anywhere? No, I didn't. Sorry. So I went to customer service. Did you happen to see, did anybody bring in a wallet, maybe in a cart or something? No, nothing's been turned in. So the last thing I do is I walk to the carts and I start taking them out one by one because I know they had pushed them all in. So I wanted to make sure that something hadn't fallen through. So as I'm doing this, I hear behind me someone says, are you Karen Divers? I looked around and I said, yes. Do you have my wallet? And he said, come with me. I want to show you something. And this is a patron. This is not someone that works at the store. We go out to his truck, and he said, I think this is yours. And it's my wallet. And he had zipped it up. He said, I zipped it up because I didn't want anything to fall out from it. He said, but I knew somebody was going to be looking for it. And I said, well, how did you even know to ask me? And he said, because you look like you were looking for something with the cart. Like, sure. Yeah. And I said, thank you so much for that. You don't know how much that means to me. And I gave him a big hug, and I said, you are a saint. And I said, and I would like to give you something. And he said, oh, no, 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 no. We'll not take anything. He said, no, I'm just glad we found what you needed. So he walked on into the store again, I guess, to shop, and I was driving home. And, of course, as I was driving home, I was just thanking God for letting me know that he is in control. Mm-hmm. He did keep it safe.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And this thought came to me. It said, Karen, that man needed to hear he was a saint.
Wow. Wow.
Yes.
So we don't really know how our words or how our prayers can help. And sometimes it's not just us, but sometimes it's the other person.
Yeah.
So thank you again.
Amen.
Wonderful.
Woo! Yes. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
God is good.
Amen.
All
Amen.
Right. Okay.
I want to ask you a question.
Hey.
Well, you say grace, mercy, power.
Yes.
So the first one is grace.
Yes.
The second one is mercy.
Yes.
The third one is power. Is that right?
Yeah. Grace equals mercy, chair 4, plus power, 6, skipping over 5. But it includes 5. You can't get to 6 without going through 5.
That's right. That's
okay.
Good.
Okay. This is grace. Grace is he forgives you, but you still have your sins. This is then the only way it gets rid of them, but it leads to power. It leads to power. So this is what he gives you, free. I have faith. I believe I'm forgiven. Good. Now I have eternal life. But this is how you get it, death and then resurrection. Life, death, then resurrection. That's it. So grace equals mercy plus power. But it's always through this. That's why no one wants to deal with this chair. This is the only one that matters. Is the fact that God is gracious to you, forgave you your sin of losing it and not knowing where it was and so on and so forth. But the thought came to you, and thank you, but no, save it. Don't let it be lost, you know. Help it. The truck, oh yeah, get out of here, truck. You know, but all of that is, don't sweat. Don't sweat.
I forgot to say something to you. The reason I brought up the truck that went across was because that was the man that found my purse.
Wow.
That was the man that found me.
Oh my gosh. So that's a blessing right there. That truck whom you were resentful. Yeah, I got to get there.
I can't believe I forgot to say that, but yes, that was
it. That's powerful. That's even more powerful.
That is.
I love it.
Awesome.
All right, God is good.
Hallelujah.
God is good. Who wants to say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Woohoo! Glory, glory,
praise
God.
Jesus.
Lord God, as we are taking the offering today, we just pray that all of this will not be out of our abundance or anything else. It'll just be out of your abundance.
Amen.
You're so good to us. You're so gracious to us. So we give you all the praise, all the glory, and everyone said,
Amen. Amen.
All right.
Amen.
Amen. Woohoo!
Yeah. Praise God.
Yes. Are we visited?
Yes. Yeah.
Say who you are.
We're from Palestine.
Wow. Whoa, you've come a long way.
Yeah, Linda had a conference this Saturday, and then we wanted to come up here Sunday and be blessed.
Wow.
You know, and so,
too powerful.
Whenever she has a conference up here, we
Yeah.
Try to come by.
I love it. I love it. Well, God bless you. What's your names?
Bentley, Eddie Bentley, and Glenda Bentley.
Yeah. Hi.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Well, thank you for stopping in.
Yeah. Thank you for well, thank Father for the blessing.
Eddie, amen.
Did you find Emmanuel?
I've heard Jim before in Palestine. He don't even remember it.
No.
He don't remember it.
He's heard you a couple times. We've been here.
Wow.
He was down in one of the other rooms.
But yeah. You know how God works.
Yeah. And what was interesting is we knew basically where it was, but when we left the hotel this morning, somehow we got turned around. So we went a whole thing about Dallas. And I kept on saying, no, it's on 635. Don't know why that number kept on saying. But we did find it. And we got here early, too.
Yeah, right. That's powerful.
What a blessing. Perfect.
Wow, wow, wow. Yes, yes.
Yeah, right. I was walking by, I guess, last Sunday and just saw you in here and told me about what was going on. And so I said, oh, come back and check this out.
Wow.
Hallelujah. What a great message.
Wow. Yeah. Woohoo! Bless. Praise God.
Yeah.
Praise God. What's your name?
Let's see. On Sundays, I answer to Phil Richardson all day long.
That's great. That's great.
I enjoyed the message.
Woohoo!
Love how you put it.
Praise God.
You know, I read it all the time, but wow, you just really put it
together. Amen.
Wow. Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Powerful.
Thank you, Jesus.
Powerful,
amen.
Powerful.
Hallelujah.
All right.
Amen.
God is good.